97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus is dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, journalism professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, football bowl payouts. Our guest, Andy Schwartz, is a partner at OSKR, a firm specializing in the intersection of economics and law. Andy is a noted sports economics analyst. He's based in Emeryville, California. All right, Andy, I know where you're coming from on this, but let's not start there. Let's start with where most people start, and it's with the Team X. Well, let's just use the Tar Heels. The Tar Heels are going to the Sun Bowl. Sun Bowl pays out about $2 million. You look at the expense sheet, and they're probably going to wind up spending that or a little more. The conclusion would be it's a money-losing proposition. On its face, is that part of it accurate?
Well, so first of all, thanks for having me on. Second of all, I should point out that UNC's opponent in the Sun Bowl is Stanford, so UNC is going to lose.
Well, okay.
third, to answer your question, it's hard to say yes or no for a bowl like the Sun Bowl, but almost certainly the answer is if you look at the Sun Bowl revenue and expense sheet that people focus on for answering that question, you won't get the answer right. I say that because almost nothing on that piece of paper tells you about the revenue associated with attending that bowl, by which I mean the Sun Belt is paying probably the ACC rather than UNC some amount of money, and that amount of money is not on that piece of paper. So when you typically read there'll be a report, oh, school X went to the Y bowl and they lost Z money. The calculation of Z does not include the revenue from the bowl itself. It also doesn't include something really important, which is all of the, let's call it ancillary benefits that accrue to a school from going to a bowl, such as donors who go to the bowl game very often give a lot more money thereafter. There's a decent amount of sales of sweatshirts in the bookstore because people are excited about being in a bowl, et cetera. Now, it depends. If it's a school that's accustomed to go to a BCS bowl and they're going to the New Mexico bowl, maybe that same effect won't happen. I don't know what North Carolina's expectations are enough to know. I'm a Stanford grad, if that wasn't obvious. And for us, in the old days, going to the Sun Bowl was a big deal, and it would have been nice. And now it's sort of we've gotten spoiled, but I still think that we have enough perspective to say, yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good. It'll be fun to play North Carolina and see how it goes.
All right.
What you see on those expense sheets is the money that the ACC is giving North Carolina as an allowance, as an expense allowance. And that has nothing to do, really, with the actual cost of going to the bowl or with the actual benefits of it. Instead, it's just an agreement that's made in advance, and it's designed in some sense to prevent North Carolina from going crazy on its expenses in an effort to generate more revenue on the side. And I can talk about that more if you want, but I think I've probably already exhausted everyone's patience on this answer.
All right, so before we jump into the you have to consider all this other stuff part of the conversation, let's go back to 2009, Notre Dame, which typically does have very high expectations, is 6-6 that year, declines the bowl bid because of, quote, unique circumstances. Most people, or many writers, felt that that was going to be a money-losing proposition for Notre Dame, and that's why Notre Dame didn't go to the bowl game. So Notre Dame's is in a unique situation because it's not affiliated with a conference for football. Does that make a difference?
Sure. The conference agreement changes the individual incentives of each team to attend a bowl. And generally speaking, the conference affiliation will disincent a school from attending a high-end bowl, let's call it a prestige-increasing bowl, which will differ by school whether it's prestige-increasing or not. It'll slightly disincent that, and it might incent a school to attend a less prestigious bowl, all else equal. And I say this because what the conference agreements do is they even out the payments. So going to a $20 million payout bowl, you're going to get $2 million. And going to a $500,000 payout bowl, you're going to get $2 million. Those numbers are a little bit made up, but that's in the general ballpark. And so sometimes I think Wake Forest makes the most money out of the bowl system because they often don't go to a bowl at all. They get the revenue and they have no expenses. But on the other hand, Wake Forest probably lags behind everybody else in terms of alumni excitement over the game center, the stuff you told me not to think about. So it's hard as an economist who sees all the threads to not keep tugging at the other ones. But in the case of Notre Dame, where they didn't have this cross subsidy, it's probably easier for them to assess, are these side benefits that we get from going to a bowl going to be huge from going to a bowl that's given to a 6-6 team? Probably not with our alumni expectations. We're probably not going to have a lot of excited fans throwing money at the program to say, great, this is a good building block, let's move forward. Probably not going to sell a ton more of the paraphernalia that goes along with the bowls. We might not even be able to sell out our ticket allotment, and no one's giving us a cross subsidy, so this might be a time to act like we're highly principled and say, you know, we just don't think we deserve a bowl game this year, because it may have, in fact, ended up costing them money, even when you include all those side benefits.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion with Andy Schwartz, who is an expert at sports economics and analyzing that. We're talking about football bowl payouts. And Andy, I do want to get into some of those ancillary things that you were talking about. Money from the playoff, the 4-team playoff. If the Big Five, as I understand it, correct me where I'm wrong, the Big Five conferences get a cut of that, regardless of whether that specific conference has a participant in the playoff, correct?
That is correct. I can't remember if the amounts are identical between the conferences with teams and without teams, but generally speaking, the order of magnitude of payment for an excluded conference is effectively the same as an included conference, and even if there were a double two-school conference, you get a slight boost up, but it's almost rounding error. And the same goes for participation in the other bowls that have been included within the college football playoff revenue cartel, for lack of a better word. The incentives for going to those big games are almost entirely the stuff that is not on the profit and loss sheet. It's all about recruiting prestige, donation prestige, even just academic prestige. If you ask presidents of major universities for their assessment of the quality of the academics of major universities, and you control for football success, you find that football success in major bowls is, in fact, a statistically significant factor in improving academics' opinion of their fellow academics. So if it's affecting professors and university presidents, for sure it's affecting parents of people applying to schools. And so there are, like, it's the tendrils of these benefits are long and hard to follow, but you are correct that on a pure dollars for bowl game benefit, there's effectively no profit in going to the game versus not going to the game for your team or your conference.
Sure. Okay. So the ACC then is going to get money for being a Big Five conference, Does have a participant, Clemson. So, as you say, regardless of whether Clemson was there or not, they would still get that money. You get bowl revenue sharing from all the other bowls, smaller bowls. So there's a big pot of money there for the ACC schools to share. But they also have to share expenses. So my question to you is, let's use UNC as an example. Losses to Duke and NC State at the end of the year knocked UNC down to a mid-level bowl. How much does something like that hurt the school and its conference?
The conference one is easier because it probably didn't affect the conference at all. ACC has a team in the playoff, which means that they get their second team into one of the major bowls, the Orange Bowl, and that pretty much maximizes out the variable positions that are available in the bowls. The rest of the bowls are contracted by almost entirely by the conferences. So if UNC drops down two slots, then someone else moves up two slots. And the conference total revenue is identical. From the UNC position, the amount of expenses that are covered by the conference varies by bowl in, you know, approximate order with the prestige. So they're going to get less money to go to the Sun Bowl, even though it's out in El Paso, than they would have if they had been team number two and had gotten the Orange Bowl bid, even though presumably, you know, for you or for me, getting from Chapel Hill to Miami is less expensive than getting out to El Paso. But for a team like UNC, probably it's not quite the same as just buying a plane ticket. They're going to take an entourage of donors and of faculty, important people in the community. And had they gotten a bigger subsidy, expense coverage, however you want to call it, from the ACC, and were it a more prestigious bowl, there would have been more interest in going and more money to take people. So almost certainly UNC's expenses would have been higher to go to the Orange Bowl than they will be to go to the Sun Bowl, just because, and I'm guessing here, I can't imagine that's a super hot ticket for the average person to go out in the week between Christmas and New Year's to El Paso, other than for, you know, hardcore fans and for, you know, people who really like West Texas. So it kind of tends to balance out, which is that schools spend up to their expense allowance, and then for major bowls, you'll see them intentionally exceeding that because the revenue benefit, which is not on the form, of that additional dollar of expense above the subsidy that's provided by the conference is more than a dollar. So spending an extra $10 on bringing your boosters out in style to the Orange Bowl, fetting them the night before the game, et cetera, is going to yield more than a dollar's worth of returns, so that's a smart investment. Whereas for the Sun Bowl, it may be the case that there are fewer of those positive return on investments to make, so you'll see expenses hew a little bit closer to whatever it is that they're allotted by the ACC.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking about football bowl payouts with a guy who knows a whole lot about that, sports economics analyst Andy Schwartz. Andy, I don't want to pick on Wake Forest as you did a little bit, but you know you were trying to pick on UNC too, but we'll forgive that. So my question is, what's from a strictly money standpoint, not prestige, not you know, boosters feeling good about the program, but strictly from a money payout standpoint, is the best case scenario to be kind of mediocre and not make it to a bowl?
It's very hard for me to answer the question the way you've asked it, but the answer is yes. If you assume that all of the side benefits are zero, the best thing to do, as long as they don't kick you out of your conference, is to be a body bag and never make it to a bowl game. Heck, they might even like it if you lost all your games so that all of their records look better. And win your out-of-conference games and then lose the in-conference. But going to a game, probably, except for maybe the college football playoff or the other bowls that are in the rotation, on a pure cash basis, probably loses money, yes.
Okay, so but that's the fallacy of the argument, is because, as you point out, most folks who are writing these articles are sports experts, not finance experts, and they fail to factor in the playoff money, the revenue sharing, et cetera, et cetera. So it, looking at part of the picture gives you not a complete picture of everything that's going on. Is that the main thing that we should take from what you've written and what you're saying?
Yes, and it's twofold with respect to those sorts of articles. And I've seen it a bunch, actually, for ACC schools, because the Orange Bowl seems to get picked on a lot, especially in the days prior to the college football playoff, where that was sort of going to be unless an ACC team was chosen as one of the two teams, that was going to be the pinnacle of the ACC's season. And the particular form that gets used for that analysis of whether the bowl on a dollars or cents basis is profitable or not sometimes includes zero revenue. So all it includes is the partial expense reimbursement from the conference, which means that at most you're going to break even, and if you spend even a dollar more than your expense reimbursement, you're going to lose money. It's a rigged form in some sense. It's not rigged for the purpose that it's designed for, which is to track how much of your expenses get covered, but it is rigged if you're going to then take it and say, oh my God, Virginia Tech or Clemson or Florida State or whomever lost money going to the game. If I said to you, how much money did you spend? How much money did you get reimbursed by your employer? But don't look at your salary. And I said to you, did you make money this year or not? Of course you didn't make money. So those forms omit the salary piece. But secondly, there's the second piece, which is that the teams in the ACC, 14 or 15, depending on how you count, I guess for football we aren't going to count Notre Dame, have made an agreement that when their salary comes in from these bowl games, that they're going to let the state garnish their wages effectively. They're going to let the ACC take it all and then smooth it out and distribute it back to the teams effectively, more or less, equally. So if you go to a bowl game and you have most but not all of your expense covered and you look at that form, it's going to show a loss. And then if you look at the chunk of money that the ACC sends you, which is probably not on that form, you're going to look like you have a small benefit, a small revenue benefit, profit, if you want to call it that. If you had a big expense, and that's probably from the bigger bowls where there's more benefit to spending money because you get these side perks, it's going to look like you lost money, which is why the Orange Bowl has been a great spot to look for lost money, because it has higher expenses, it has higher revenue benefits, but they don't show up. And so then if you were to sort all the teams in terms of order, what you'd see is a school that went to a bowl and managed to have an expense deficit that's smaller than their ACC allotment might be up at the top, and then you'll have a Wake Forest that doesn't go to a bowl and has zero expenses but zero benefits in the middle, and then the schools that go to the biggest bowls somewhat counterintuitively make the least money on that sort of analysis. You effectively get a screwed up economic result because you're not understanding the accounting data.
Okay, we have about 30 seconds left. So it sounds to me like as long as my conference does well, it doesn't too much matter which bowl I wind up in or if I even go to a bowl.
In the short run, for sure, yes. In the long run, I am pretty sure that Clemson is happier with its place in the total revenue benefit pecking order than Wake Forest by the fact that they've spent a lot of money to get themselves towards the cream of the crop of the conference. But in the short run, for sure, that's true.
And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Andy Schwartz. Thanks also to engineer Dylan Field. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.